And I had to think about. I had to think, who am I? You know, who do I belong to? Sometimes you feel like not like a nothing, like a loser, or who am I? Nobody. You stand in the mirror, and of course you can always say, "Lord, you see me. I am your child." You know. But if you really think about it, we are nothing more than flowers in the grass, one of 8 billion. But still, the Lord loves me. God sent his son so I could be with him. He gave himself at the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, hang from the cross. And Jesus bare the whiplashes that were actually mine, you know. And we can celebrate Jesus' life and what he did for us in the Holy Communion. As we are truly sons and daughters of God, it's so beautiful to celebrate Holy Communion. And it is written in Luke. So Jesus took the bread, broke it, and he had the wine. And he said, "This is the blood that was spilled for you." Strange if you think about it. Are there any children in the room? Who can explain me what Holy Communion is? Who dares to come? Who... Otherwise, I will just ask random children. Okay, there are two that dare to say what Holy Communion is. Holy Communion is. And Jesus says, "I am the bread." So we eat Jesus. And Jesus gave us the bread. So Jesus is the so tell us about the wine. So Jesus gave us the blood and told us it was wine instead of blood, you know. What does the wine stand for? The blood of Jesus. The wine is a symbol for the blood of Jesus. And how did this happen? Jesus went to a big table with his disciples to celebrate Pesach. And what did they celebrate at Pesach? A party. Yeah, it was definitely a party. They celebrate at Pesach that Jesus was risen. Oh, it was Israel that fled from the land of Egypt. Pesach, the Jewish people celebrate. They were liberated from Egypt. And they went to the promised land. Yes, they went to Canaan. And they had to do this. And there were many struggles. And there were 10 plagues. So the last plague was very heavy. Think about it, you know. The last plague is that every firstborn child would die. Heavy. But not for the people of Israel, not for the Jews. But they had to prepare bread that did not rise. So it's like the matzahs, you know. So they had to bake breads without sourdough, and so it's like bread for travel, you know. It stays well a long time. It holds. So the bread that is broken represents the body of Christ. And they're making a nice spectacle of it. So what we remind at Pesach is that the God liberated the Jewish people from Egypt. So that is what Pesach means. And they also had to butcher a lamb to remind themselves that in the old times that it had to remind them about the miracles and the plagues as they left Egypt. So that is the meaning of Pesach for the Jewish people, and that is like also that explains a little bit about the bread and the blood that Jesus mentions. It is all symbolic to remind us that Jesus gives us a way from slavery and sin, that we can be truly free. As we can say, Lord, let us be truly free. And the blood of Jesus stands for a new covenant. You know, Jesus gave himself as the perfect sacrifice. And he created a new covenant with God and man that is installed for all that worship him as Salvator. So as Lord and Salvator, you know, as Jesus, you know, and as King and God. Isn't that great? It is written in Hebrew 9, verse 11. And in this holiness, he did not bring the blood of bull or lamb, but he brought his own blood, and with this perfect sacrifice, Son of God, saved us for all eternity. And he created a new covenant. The people that were called by God could come to God by the blood of Jesus, and free from the first covenant, so we can be clean and free from God, in front of God, because of Jesus. So beautiful. So the toddlings and the little children will not have the communion with us. So now we have Maartje. No, it's her mother, Joke. About the covenant, the communion. So as I was with the bed of my little sick grandson, you know, I was so fury that so filled with the desire to change places with him, you know, that I could bear the pain that he has to bear. It's terrible. He had a fungus in his nose and brain and leukemia. The little boy is only 3, you know. And I could just understand a little bit of the love that Jesus must have for us, you know. And he loved us before we even loved us, you know. Jesus loves us, you know. I love Josiah, my grandchild. And of course I want to take his pain. But Jesus did it for us because he loved us first. And he did it for us. He bore all our sins and all the punishment that came with it. And all our suffering, he carries us, you know, it's beautiful. And last time I stood here, I was in trains, I was crying, you know. And we were so much praying for the child, you know. We prayed for a miracle. It was very close. We said, Lord, we need a miracle. He will die. And the only thing they could think up was experimental treatment. And they did not know if that would help or not. And everybody prayed, you know. So many people prayed. And we have such beautiful news. And there was no fungus more left in the brain of the little child, you know. It's so beautiful to hear this. It God, it's a miracle, you know. And there was also no leukemia anymore. So praise the Lord, you know. Hallelujah. He's no longer patient. But please keep praying, you know. Pray, pray, pray. God hears us, you know, and he truly gives us miracles if we pray, you know. And this little spot in his brains, you know, that just disappeared. And, you know, the doctors cannot understand why it disappeared, but it's gone, you know. Hallelujah. And the little children... So maybe we have a little collection for the little children. So I thought they were with in the communion, but I think there are no real children's service today. Maybe. So we have two little ones. It's for Dorcas, Teresa, and Calvin, our sponsor children. All the children can donate their money, and only the very small children can go to their service. So it's like the toddlings and the third graders have a service, and the rest is later. Now I want to ask you, Dirk and Ingrid, come please forward to help me with the Holy Communion. So Anne-Jan, please come forward. So Anne-Jan and Margrethe, we're going to have pray for the bread and the wine. We're going to have the communion, you know, everybody can partake. If you have the Lord in your heart and... The children is, of course, for the parents themselves, you know. And it's good to realize that you can be clean and holy for the Last Supper, the Holy Communion. Maybe there's sin in your life that you have not told God about. So many sins. And it's a shame to live without God, you know, a sin to live without God. There are things that we have to maybe confess or repent from, you know, so that we can be more like Jesus. And, you know, let's just take a moment of silence just to hear your heart, you know, and just think about it. And maybe tell to God. you know, you can always pray for forgiveness, you know. And if you really have things that are wrong, name them. Bring it to the light, you know. Then I can take it. That is why Jesus died for us, you know. Forgiveness for sins. So let's just think about it in our hearts. And tell it to the Lord, you know. Thank you, lovingly Father, for all the things that and all the sins that will be cast away because what you did for us, Lord Jesus, you know? And all the sins will be washed away, and that we can be free to be with you and to worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We are so happy that Jesus bear the weight of our sins. And gives us new life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share the bread. And Derek and Ingrid will... Arjan and Margrethe will do that. We'll just wait a little bit till everybody has something. And then we can eat the bread. And then we can drink the wine or the grape juice for those that don't really like alcohol. I will be in the midst of the grape juice, and the wine will be at the side. You can just follow the rest of the congregation, because it's going to be like a circle, and the custodians give a sign, so it will be all right. And let's pray for the bread and share it.